The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Ah, it's that time of the week when we tell you what to watch on the big screen and the small one. And we are joined in studio by Chris Wasser, arts journalist and Sunday Independent film critic, and entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo. You're both very welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, good to see you.
Great to have you here. Chris, let's go to you first. You have an unpronounceable one first up.
We do. I'm going to go with Arupkia, which I believe might be Polish for eruption. This is Charli XCX giving acting a try for change, as if we, you know, haven't seen her do absolutely everything else in the last 12 months. She and a fellow named Will Madden, they are playing a couple of Londoners, Rob and Bethany, who have escaped to Warsaw for what we think, or what he thinks, might be a romantic getaway. He is planning an extravagant proposal. She is going to bed at night thinking, I'm not sure if I'm in this relationship. But this is not her first time in Poland. She's been several times, and that's because a friend of hers actually lives there in Warsaw. Her friend's name is Nell, played by Lena Gora, and every time Nell and Bethany are in the same country, a volcano somewhere else in the world erupts. And this time, Sicily's Mount Etna is beginning to rumble. That causes Rob and Bethany's flight to be delayed. So this couple, who, you know, are on very different paths, have no choice but to kind of stick around in Warsaw for a while, which means Bethany and Nell are going to hang out, and they have a bit of a complicated past. It's a very good story. Unfortunately, there's kind of a sense here that everyone involved is making it up as they go along, and that's because they literally were. So Pete Oh's the filmmaker behind this, very experimental filmmaker. He always, and he says this openly, he starts his films, he rolls the camera before there's a finished screenplay. So his films are a very collaborative process.
So this is kind of improv, is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the actors, so Will Madden, Charli XCX, Lena Gora, they all have screenwriting credits here. And I think they think what they're doing is sort of a Before Midnight, Before Sunset, Before
yes,
Sunrise sort of
sorry,
thing.
Sorry, because I was actually thinking of that when you said, you mentioned that film only about 2 days ago.
Which I love. But those films were workshopped and rehearsed so much, and there was an idea that they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were trying to say, you know, about
you
life.
You also had two really good actors.
Yeah, yeah. This
I'm
time
I'm not
around,
sure. I don't know much about Will Madden. Yeah. What's Charli XCX?
She's good, yeah. I mean, the film around them, it's far too scruffy and scrappy and far too short as well. Like, it kind of, you know, it sounds as if it's going somewhere interesting, but it really doesn't go anywhere interesting at all. But she is very good.
The premise actually does sound interesting.
Yeah.
Is it rom-com, or how would you categorize
no,
it?
No, it's more of a sort of a romantic drama that isn't quite actually romantic. That's a problem.
Or very dramatic.
The film's a bit messy, but she's... Yeah, it's a drama, yeah. But she is very good in it. There are signs, like when I was watching it, thinking, okay, she just needs to find the right project, because there is something promising there in terms of her acting ability.
Okay.
It is interesting, and the way you've described it, even though you've said it's not as good as it maybe could have been or what have you, I'm half interested in seeing it.
Well, I've done my job right then.
It's selected cinemas?
So it's in selected cinemas at the minute. It's actually extended the run, so clearly Charli XCX fans are showing up.
I can imagine. Serena, what's your first for the pot?
Well, this is the one that we've both seen. Everyone's been talking about for a long time. He's back at Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. Very simple premise with a lot of difficulties thrown in along the way. Basically, Emily Blunt plays a meteorologist and Josh O'Connor plays a cybersecurity expert. They found this really important, well, they're drawn together because one of them has found really important information about aliens that they want and believe that the world needs to see. That is the simplistic explanation of what's going on. There's been a lot of mixed reviews, including here.
Yeah.
I'd say.
We disagree.
You? Well, yeah, I didn't dislike it. I love Steven Spielberg, right? But the question I was left with when I came out of the cinema was, if it was anyone but Steven Spielberg, would I have liked it as much as I liked it?
Does that matter?
I think it does, because I tend to forgive a lot of the stuff that's happening in the film. Like, it's a bit clunky. It's 2.5 hours. Did I feel the time pass? Probably not, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think if this was a 90-minute film, I think this would have been really good.
The trailers look brutal.
Don't go by the trailers.
Really?
Yeah, don't.
Because I just went, oh, I have no interest. Yeah.
I've seen lots of people talking about going to this online, as in they've put up their, oh, is that at it, and saying it's brilliant, but obviously, I don't know. Chris, you had a bit of a different take.
I got on very well with it, yeah. I ignored the trailers. The trailers are a mess, and they've gotten to the point now where Steven Spielberg himself is part of the promotional clips. And I think that's for two things. I think one is to remind people, because they are panicking about the numbers for the opening weekend, because it's not tracking very well at all.
It's a big budget one, obviously.
It is about, well, I mean, in terms of, you know, major summer blockbusters, most cost around 200 million. This cost around 120 million.
Okay.
So I think it'll do well, but I don't think it's going to, you know, go bananas at the box office. But Spielberg being a part of the promotional materials is almost saying to the audience, this is the guy who gave his Close Encounters. Come out for this. Come out for this. But it's also interesting that Spielberg is selling it as though this stuff, all the stuff in the film, is true. But a lot of people do think that the stuff in the film is true. I'd like to believe one day that that stuff might be true, that we might actually contact extraterrestrials, but that's another story for another day.
We've enough problems with those of us currently on the planet.
But that's actually a good theme in the film, because in the film, like, so that, you know,
we can't even get along with each other. I don't know how we're going to cope with.
So Earth in the film is on the verge of, we are on the verge of World War III in the film. Eve Ewson's character as well, I quite liked in this. She is playing a former novice nun who worries about the implications of what, you know, what would humans think if they found out there are little green men in the skies looking down on us. How does that affect their faith? And also, I should say, I think you agree on this, Emily Blunt is phenomenal in this.
I love Emily Blunt. Yeah, if she doesn't, if she's not nominated for every award going come award season, there's something wrong, because she's outstanding.
Is Disclosure Day the kind of film you
That's
get nominated
for? That's what I was going to say.
For?
That wasn't the impression I got, that it was going to be an awardee kind
but
of a thing.
But she is. Like, her performance in it is incredible and so flawless. Like, you know, you look at everyone in it, is actually really good. Like, Eve Hewson's great.
Eve Hewson is going from strength to strength, isn't she?
Really,
let's give her a little round of applause for that.
And she could have over-egged her character, as could have Emily Blunt and Josh O'Connor. The only one who's really over-egging in this is Colin Firth. He just seems to be playing a caricature of an evil character. Isn't he?
Yeah,
of the baddie. But look, having said that, I was watching this going, it really reminds me of E.T. And at one stage, I really did think that Emily Blunt was going to go, or one of the characters in there was going to go, E.T. phone home. You don't get that. But if you know the
because
formula.
Because they would be Jamaican, would they?
Was that not an alien accent? In my head, I sounded exactly like E.T.
Sorry, didn't have any money.
No, you're allowed.
Okay, I definitely want to see this one.
See it on the big screen, please. Yeah. If you're going to do this film justice.
I'm not going, sorry.
Why? You know me,
is there special effects-y stuff going on
there
here?
There are, yeah. But for the most part, it's actually sort of a conspiracy-fueled chase thriller. You know, it's like the bad guys running after good guys for 2 hours, like Close Encounters was. I think a lot of the geniuses are going to come out over the next week or two and put clips out of context of this film online. And if you see them, you are going to think they are so, so silly. But all together, this is why I'm saying ignore the trailers, all together.
Okay. You love it. You think it's more Close Encounters of the third kind.
Oh, very good.
Oh, I like what you did.
How long did you take to come up with that?
Just there now.
I say go see it on a big screen. If you are a Spielberg fan.
Fair.
Yeah, see it on a big screen.
Chris, what have you got?
I've got a film which sounds kind of quirky. It's called The Fall of Sir Douglas Weatherford, and it is quirky. You've got the great Peter Mullen playing a man in a fictional Scottish village called Aberlock, and he is obsessed with this fictional historical figure, named Sir Douglas Weatherford. Sir Douglas Weatherford was a man who never got the credit he deserves, or so says this this guy Kenneth. He was an inventor and a philosopher. He has this whole visitor centre dedicated to him in this town of Aberlock, and Kenneth gives these what he thinks are wonderful walking tours, educating everyone on Weatherford, because it just so happens that he's also an ancestor of Kenneth's. But the thing is, nobody really cares, and nobody outside of the village really cares about this guy, and they don't believe all of his achievements. And Kenneth can relate. He is someone who maybe didn't do all the things that he wanted to with his life. He's a widower. You know, he's quite, you know, disillusioned and angry with the world. His daughter's worried about him. The perfect time then for a Game of Thrones type TV show to roll into his town, to start filming, disrupt his life and the life of the villagers, and also to replace the Weatherford Visitor Centre with a sort of fan area where all the cast of this fantasy show can sign autographs. So it's only a matter of time before Kenneth, you know, flips and some very bad things happen. It's a great, great premise, and I love Peter Mullen. I just think that the film is...
I really like him.
Sorry, when you say some very bad things happen, I thought this was going to be something really warm and fuzzy.
I mean...
Is that not what we're dealing with here?
There's actually two different films sort of fighting for your attention here. One of them is a very kind of melancholy, sentimental drama about this, you know, very lonely, disillusioned widower. And the other is about this guy who becomes dangerously obsessed with the lead actor in this fantasy show and sort of dreams up this revenge while also imagining that he's listening to the ghost of Sir Weatherford. So it is it's
mad.
It's fighting with itself. It's constantly fighting with itself.
I was thinking it was going to be like Local Hero or The Full Monty or something.
That would be nice.
No, that's not what
we're
dealing with.
No, that's not what we're dealing with. But there is something special here. And I can understand why Mullen was drawn to it. And it is the Peter Mullen show for about 100 minutes. So I would give it, you know, a thumbs up based on his performance. Because I'd watch him in anything, to be fair.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that. He's a really good actor. Alice and Steve?
Yeah, so this is a new TV series from Disney Plus. Another one that the two of us disagree on. I thought that we could go to the cinema or watch TV together, but today we're finding out that we like very different things.
Yeah.
I really like the premise of this. It's two best friends have been friends for over 30 years. He starts dating her 26-year-old daughter.
Ooh, I've heard of this. Mm. I've heard about this.
And
not sure how I'd feel about that if I was the daughter.
They're in their 50s kind
of
thing?
They're in their 50s, yeah.
Okay.
And it was funny.
Friends since their 20s, she's got a daughter. Okay.
Yeah. And she really wants him to have a partner. And so, like, before they hook up, she's like, oh, you know, anyone would be lucky to have you. And then it's
her. Hey, my daughter.
Yeah. And it's, you're watching it going, oh, come on, like, ease up a bit. And then I stood there and went, no, actually, if my now teenager turned 26 and was dated one of my best friends, I don't think I'd be comfortable with that. But it's more than that. It's about they then start to do terrible things to each other to try and take revenge on each other. I thought it was fun. I thought it was quirky. I thought it was funny. You had another opinion.
Tell us.
It never really knows what to do with that central setup. Like, it's because the problem is that Steve is not, it's perfectly fine for someone in their 50s to date someone in their 20s as long as they're two consensual adults and everyone is on board and everyone, you know, likes or loves one another.
As long as it's not your daughter.
It's not maybe fine if that person watched their partner literally grow up. If they've been there since the beginning of their life, that is gross. And it's something that
that's
show...
That's a bit Woody Allen, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's something that the show addresses but never comes back to. So you have this situation where it's like, okay, we don't really know what to do with this, so we're running a mile from it. So it becomes, for me, a show that... It felt like the show had all these leftover ideas from an unmade series of Beef. You know Beef on Netflix?
Yeah.
Where two people are constantly feuding with one another and it gets very...
Do you remember War of the Roses in the
80s? Yeah,
and that's what this is like. This has a War of the Roses type
Michael
feel.
Michael Douglas and
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner.
And
yeah.
then it was remade recently with Olivia Colman and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And it has that feel. And like the stuff that they do for revenge gets stupider and stupider. And I think the reason why it works for me is the two leads. Because you're right, this could have been something that maybe didn't work, but you got Nicola Walker who was in
she's
funny,
done
isn't
Split.
She
she did Split, but
is it kind of played for laughs a little bit, like,
well, yeah, because you've got Jermaine Clement who's from Flight of the Conchords, the New Zealand actor. So for me, I think if you're looking for something where you completely switch off, you have to just think this is just really silly 30 minute 6 episodes. You can binge it and it is bingeable.
I quite like Joel Fry playing role of Daniel, because the it's not a twist, but her husband, so Alice's husband, is 10 or 12 years younger than her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't understand. Ooh, well, that's my life. This has nothing to do with yours.
So
you know?
There's a bit of a hypocrisy to this, because she's in an age gap relationship
but
herself.
There's no best friends involved. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that any of us particularly want our peers to date our children, even if our children are of an age, whereas you say
none of us particularly want it. I'd be viscerally opposed to it.
Yeah.
If any of my children are listening.
Which they probably aren't.
And any of your best friends.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
It's yeah.
Okay, so kind of tentative thumbs up for that one.
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up.
I saw a couple of reviews of it during the week and they were mostly positive and I think a lot of us can relate to the visceral thing Shane is talking about.
Just really quickly, I love this backstory. Monday's 8:30, started last Monday. Basically,
RTE one
at 8:30 PM, and the line is modern. Basically, it takes four kids who were born here in Ireland and it goes back to their parents' country to find out more, to connect with their parents' country. Some of them were actually born somewhere else but came here at a very young age. It's really interesting. I did this with my own parents.
Where are the kids from?
We've got parents
from Zimbabwe,
Moldova, Peru and Sri Lanka.
Okay.
And it's just really interesting to connect with your Irish heritage and your cultural background as well. I love this story.
Something positive about migration.
Yeah.
A nice antidote to all the stuff that's
RTE1
floating around out there. Thank you both so much as ever.
Chris Walter and Serena Bellissimo.
What to Watch.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.